Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I won't say interesting, I'll say relevant. How's that? I have another good guest for you today. And our guest is Andrew Mangione. He is the Director of Business Development for the AMAC, which is, help me with it, what's it stand for again, Andy?
The Association of Mature American Citizens.
There we go. And we're going to be talking about that organization as well as Obamacare. So, Andy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, David.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you for reaching out to us. We've had Daniel Weber, who is the founder of your organization, on the show before, and so I'm glad you guys are back. And I've got to ask you the huge question. I'm hearing rumors or rumblings that Obamacare isn't a done deal. I thought, you know, between the Supreme Court got a hold of it, it got put through or kind of crammed through on some sort of nonsense with the reconciliation of two different bills, and then, you know, all these different things. And then, of course, Mr. Obama got reelected. So I thought it was done, but I'm hearing maybe it's not. And I understand you got kind of maybe some information you could share with us to help us understand how this Affordable Care Act may or may not play out.
Well, the Affordable Care Act is now the law of the land.
Okay.
There's no question about that, David.
Okay.
However, implementing the Affordable Care Act has begun. And are you familiar with a Chinese fire drill?
I've heard the term.
Well, I think that's what we're dealing with here.
Okay.
There is some pushback from specific governors, namely, I don't have all of them, but Scott Walker in Wisconsin, John Kasich in Ohio, where they're pushing back saying we do not want to set up the healthcare exchanges. The Affordable Care Act mandates that the states, not the federal government, must set up the healthcare exchanges, which is where people will go to purchase healthcare insurance under the Affordable Care Act. And in Scott Walker's case, he has got a system in place where he's saying we can do better and we can save our citizens and the people of Wisconsin more money by maintaining what we have. And so, no, we're not going to set them up. And what this, if the federal government has to set up the exchanges, well, all the savings, the proposed, projected, the made-up savings, if you will, of the Affordable Care Act will kind of go up in smoke because they weren't counting on doing this. They were hoping to bully states into setting up these healthcare exchanges. But what they didn't count on, David, was how unpopular this bill is. And actually, the Scott Walker's constituents are congratulating him for standing up to the federal government and not setting up the health exchanges in Wisconsin.
Well, here's the obvious question. Well, before we get into this, I want to let's get a little bit more of an introduction. I always jump way too quickly into this because I'm enthused about my topic. You're director of business development for the association.
Mature American Citizens.
Yeah, it's not on the website. So your organization, one of the things that I liked about getting to know you guys was that you are a more conservative, we're just going to call it what it is, a more conservative alternative to some of the other organizations attempting to serve seniors in our country, and that, for example, namely AARP. And,
yes, sir.
And they're not as conservative as you guys are. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a fair statement. We make no bones that we support conservative values, faith, family, and freedom. That's our mission statement. And we support, we're nonpartisan, but we support conservative values. We don't run around telling people that we're nonpartisan and that we represent every American like certain other groups do, namely the AARP,
yeah,
when clearly the policies and the ideology that they support does not reflect every single American who's over the age of 50.
Okay, I'm with you. So what are the repercussions if a state like Mr. Walker's case or any other state, what are the repercussions if they say we're not going to do it?
Well, I'm sure that this administration, which is known for its retribution and punishment on people that have the audacity to disagree with them, will make a big deal and probably try to slander and bully the state into compliance by saying, oh, this governor doesn't care about his people, he doesn't care about affordable health care insurance. Now, that's not the case. If there are states that have systems in place that are doing just fine, and they don't want any federal interference, so they're refusing to set up the health care exchanges. And I think the repercussion will be probably a really bad PR campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we can talk more about it. But okay, so you slander the state. So what? I mean, I guess it's a question of how far they're willing to go with it. We're with Andrew Mangione, who is the Director of Business Development for AMAC, and we're going to take a short break. The website is amac.us, and we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Mangione, Director of Business Development for Association of Mature American Citizens. There, I said it all right. It's a mouthful, but you serve a good purpose, and I'm delighted that you guys have kept in touch with us, because I think that Americans 50 and older, they need a voice that represents them. And so what you guys do is you represent, you stay informed, you work on behalf of people 50 and up that are more conservative, and people can go to the website, amac.us, and they can join. Tell them a bit about what they get. Tell them what being a member means in joining your organization.
Well, we're a member benefits organization, so when you're asking somebody to send you a check to join your group, you better give them something in return, David. And AMAC has a full complement of member benefits, everything from roadside assistance, discounts on travel. You could buy insurance products. You could look at annuity, health insurance, long-term care, dental plans, your Medicare insurance, or that meaning your Medicare Advantage as well as MedSup is available through AMAC, discounts on hotels, motels, and car rentals. So there's, we even have a cookbook available, and it's got a patriotic theme to it. So there's a whole host of member benefits that are associated with AMAC membership. But know this, David, we are a member-driven organization. We take our marching orders from our members. So when Dan Weber and I go to Washington to talk to legislators, it's our members who determine the issues that we bring to them. We take direction from them.
I like that. Well, that's probably why I saw on your website now you're the leading conservative senior organization in America. The last time I talked to Daniel Weber, you guys were on a really steep growth curve. What kind of membership numbers are you boasting now?
We're close to 530,000 members.
Good grief. That's a lot more than the last time I talked to you guys. Excellent. Well, that's certainly indicative of being on the right path. So, you know, before the break, we were talking, Andy, about some of the possible consequences of, you know, what might happen to states that don't, quote unquote, comply. But let's go back to the, you know, this central element of, you know, this law that is the law of the land, the Affordable Care Act. But part of what makes it work is that the act involves offering the federal subsidies to help lower and middle income individuals get health insurance where they otherwise can't get it. But those subsidies can only be applied through the insurance exchanges set up by the state. Now, on that side of it, what is, for our listeners who maybe have either forgotten or are not as tuned into this, what is that supposed to accomplish, those insurance exchanges? That's about trying to make insurance affordable by it being subsidized by the government? And
yes.
And then these exchanges, who are the providers? Are we still dealing with commercial insurance, or
yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yes. Yes, on both counts. So you've got a good handle on this, David. The healthcare exchanges will be the vehicle by which people will purchase healthcare, and they'll buy it from commercial insurers who are participating in the healthcare exchange. Not everyone's going to participate at all. I mean, they're going to have to take a look at the insurance organizations, going to have to look at the actuarial risk for offering products to everyone with, you know, because it's going to be guaranteed acceptance. It's going to be very difficult to actuarialize the risk, but the people that wrote it think that because of the volume of business, that because all these uninsured people will be stepping forward to receive health insurance, the volume will that these folks will bring to the table will allow the actuaries to somehow actuarialize this risk into something positive for the insurance carrier, where they're not going to be writing business at a loss. That remains to be seen.
Yeah, you don't sound convinced, Andy.
I've met a lot of actuaries
over the years, and the numbers are what they are. You know, if you ask a CPA what 2 + 2 is, they'll say, "What do you want it to be?" The actuary will say, "You know, 2 + 2." Well, they've got a whole formula that involves your life expectancy. So, but I think the point here is that And you use Wisconsin as an example with Mr. Walker saying, well, you know, we're not going to do this because we think we can do a better job, and you're not going to make us do it. So, it's, again, this is the other element of this Affordable Care Act, which, again, is law despite the many obstacles it went through that people have different, obviously different opinions on. I guess the issue is that, you know, for states to say we don't want this, then this is kind of a state versus federal issue that really hasn't been made part of the argument or discussion. Really, well, it's all about whether it was a tax or whether it was something that, you know, we could do differently, or people, businesses being forced to do X, Y, and Z. But this really is also a state versus federal. And if the federal government says you got to do it, and a state like Wisconsin says we're not going to, you know, where is that going to leave us?
Well, you know, when the Supreme Court ruled on the Affordable Care Act, they weakened the Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
All right? And this is all about expanding Medicaid. And so what they did, they ruled that the federal government can't penalize states that refuse the expansion by withholding their existing Medicaid funding. So it's not as if these governors are taking a stand that's going to cost their state money. They're taking a stand saying we can do it better ourselves and we don't need your interference from Washington. They know they're going to get the funding, and the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court guaranteed that they would. So they have a lot of leverage on their end.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing any downside if they say we can do a better thing and we're going to do it differently. And you've already got, last year, I don't know if you've got a more current number, but last time we checked, there were 17 states that had responded to the Department of Health and Human Services and said, we're not setting them up.
Right. Right.
Is that still the case?
I think that's still
okay.
The case.
So, and you got another that still haven't decided. I mean, so there's a lot of states saying we're not going to do it.
Right. That is a lot of states, and you know, coincidentally, they are being run by Republican governors who are taking this courageous stand. But I would imagine that the administration is going to try and portray these governors as evil and withholding services and health care, and that's not the case.
Oh, I'm sure all those Republican governors also have assault rifles in their top desk drawer, too.
Sure. They're packing heat right now.
Yeah, which is another hot-button issue right now. Let's do this, Andy. We'll take another quick break, come back. I'd like for you to be thinking about, we could share with the listeners, maybe some of the practical implications, depending on, of course, you know, we have a lot of listeners in Florida, but also we have people listening around the country, so... You know, what are some of the practical implications of this, the State of the Union and the State of the Affordable Care Act implementation for just everyday folks? So we'll come right back and answer that question. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back with Andy Mangione. He is the Director of Business Development for Association Mature American Citizens, a more conservative alternative for an association to represent you in Washington, and also member benefits and a variety of other services, amac.us. And Andy and I have been talking about the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, and its implementation across the country. And so what does all this mean? You know, I know a lot of the implementation of this is coming in this year, but really more in 2014, Andy. What does this mean for, say, a small business owner like me that has 12 employees, or for individuals out there, maybe they have a job but they don't have health insurance? What does all this mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that's a big question, and you can break off whatever piece of that you want.
Well, I think people that have small businesses, and my brother has a small business. He employs, I think, 10 or less people.
Mm-hmm.
He's already beginning to see his insurance premiums rise.
Well, can I tell you, I think, what was it, Lisa? Lisa, look over here. What was it, 18%? We just experienced an 18% increase in our health insurance.
Wow.
And now, you know what I did? The company absorbed it.
Yeah.
We absorbed it for our employees, and we're just because of the way we do our compensation. I want long-term people, long-term, hardworking employees that they are. I absorbed all 18%, and that's a lot. That's a big number to swallow.
Absolutely. Not everybody is in a position to do that, particularly if you're working in a high margin business, I mean, or a low margin business,
yeah,
where you don't have room. Maybe your margin on product is 2 or 3%, and you don't have an extra, you don't have the extra dollars to absorb an expense like that. So what you're going to see is small businesses. Everyone's health premiums are going to rise.
Yeah,
small businesses.
Why is that? Because companies are already starting to price in the expected losses on this stuff.
I think that's one of the factors, and I think that's a big factor, David.
Yeah.
I think they're anticipating the actuarial nightmare that Obamacare will be, and they're starting to prepare for it, as well they should. And this just didn't happen in 2013.
So we're being punished. We're being punished with higher premiums because we actually provide coverage now for our employees.
That's right.
Yeah, that's real nice. That's real nice.
So people that have small businesses are going to feel they're going to have to take people part-time, perhaps. They won't be able to expand. They won't be able to put money into R&D.
Yeah.
You're covering an 18% increase that you really didn't expect.
And listen, that's not the first one. We've had others, and now I want my clients that listen to the program to know that's just how we do it, because I'm keeping my employees, and we're going to be here to do the work we do for our clients. But you're right, not everybody can do that. And the problem is when businesses start not being able to do that, you now go to part-time work, which is not as stable. There's a lot of ripple effect here on our economy that is not good.
So you'll see people underemployed, and that's not a way to grow the economy.
No, you can't grow the economy doing that. In fact, that's been part of the challenge for the last several years of trying to get our economy back on firm footing, is getting people back full employment, and businesses who have felt a large degree of uncertainty, which really started in the summer of 2011, this target on our back, small business owners. Small business owners already have enough uncertainty. We have two scoops of uncertainty in every bowl we start with for breakfast. We don't need anybody else giving us more uncertainty to deal with.
Right, right. I
know I'm preaching to the choir.
No, you're absolutely right. But I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of expansion if you were planning on hiring somebody, David. Tell me, those plans probably were shelved.
We certainly looked hard at whether we need to add anybody, and we looked at our existing staff and say, hey, can everybody kind of just pick up a little bit extra work?
You'll see benefits cut
and some overtime.
Packages.
Yeah,
the benefits that you're offering, or that other small business owners are offering to their employees, may not be as robust as they once were because of the increase in premium.
Yeah, I think it's a challenge, and I'm going to try to find out. Do you recall off the top of your head whether or not, I know that Florida at one point was, our governor, Governor Scott, was really opposed to this, but he may have softened his position. Do you know off the top of your head where we are in Florida with this?
You mean in terms of...
being willing to implement these...
The healthcare exchanges.
Yeah, the healthcare exchanges.
I think that he was leaning towards not doing it, but he is attacked for using faulty information to come to his decision for not implementing the healthcare exchanges.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find out on the break where he is on that. We're going to take one more break, Andy. We'll come back and kind of hit some final points on this. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we are back. Andy Mangione is joining us, Director of Business Development for the AMAC. And the website, again, is amac.us. That's the Association of Mature American Citizens. A lot of good stuff there. And I checked on real quick on the internet as we were on our break, Andy, and it looks like Florida Governor Rick Scott says no to health care law. Now, that was updated as of November of 2012. So we've had, 30 days for him to have changed his position. But
he has not.
Okay.
No, he's still not doing it, and the left is attacking him for, they're saying that he inflated the cost of expanding Medicaid in Florida, or in Florida by 2,500% just to avoid implementing Obamacare. And that's their argument.
I think that's hysterical, because we know how much they have underestimated the ultimate cost of the Affordable Care Act back when they were trying to put it through to say it was only going to be $700 billion, and estimates now are, I don't know, probably in the trillions by now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's well over $1 trillion.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to have you come back and talk more about this, Andy. I think a lot of people are just really struggling to get their head around this. And maybe if enough states say, no, we'll do it differently, then we can keep this from really impairing our ability to move this country forward.
Well, David, the states are just trying to slow down the process and head back to the negotiation table. And if enough governors refuse to expand Medicare, i.e. set up the exchanges and force the federal government to do so, they could be successful.
All right. Well, we'll keep tuned in. And if you have new information for us, give us a call back and get on the program. Andrew Mangione. Andy is with AMAC. He's the Director of Business Development for the Association of Mature American Citizens. The website, one more time, is amac.us. Andy, thank you very much for being on the program.
My pleasure, David. Thank you for
All
having
right.
me.
You have a good one.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.